With a vision to rebuild, renew, and restore hearts and homes in the urban community, Urban Life Family Media presents Fruitful Living with Chris and Carol Green. Fruitful Living is the podcast outreach of Urban Life Family Center, an inner healing ministry that has been changing lives in South Central Pennsylvania since September of 2004. For the next few minutes, we're going to bring you into our weekly session from the family prayer room, where you can experience the word that is producing fruitful living.
Lord, our heart is really toward you. Teach us, Lord God, how in this hour to work with one hand with tools and to fight with the other hand with a weapon. Teach our hands to war. We really don't know how. Yes, Lord God, teach us how to build. Yes, Lord God, how to follow you, how to hear your voice, to hear you in the midst of the clatter and the clamoring and the noise that's all around us. Help us to recognize the still small voice, to hear you, Holy Spirit, and to walk according to the direction that you are giving us. Forgive us, Lord God, in the ways that we have run ahead of you, in the places where we have lagged behind you. Teach us in this hour how to walk in step with you, to remain synchronized with you. Yes, Lord God, in the areas where we have lost time, we ask you, Lord God, to redeem the time. In the places where we have wasted time, Lord, redeem that time. Restore, Lord God, what the cankerworm has eaten. Restore, Lord God, what the enemy has stolen. Yes, Lord God. And have mercy, Lord God, where we have been neglectful and have just really rebelled or just totally messed up what you had intended. Forgive us, Lord God. Have mercy, Lord. We dare not stand up in arrogance and try to throw up praise and worship before you in areas in our lives where we just need to fall on our faces in mercy and cry out for mercy. And that's what we do, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Speak, Lord, for your servants hear. We hear you. We're willing, Lord. We're willing. We're willing, Lord. Speak to us, Lord God, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, this has been quite a weekend. spending time together in the word of the Lord and sharing together, praying together. Today, we want to continue with what God has been giving us of equipping the saints on 1 week and prayer watch on the next week. And today is one of our prayer watch Sundays, which fits perfectly since we've been in a prayer watch all weekend. Before my wife comes and leads us in this prayer watch, there's something she wants to share with us today before she prays. But in line with what she prays, I came across this article on Facebook. It was posted by a friend of ours that someone that we met a long time ago, back when our family toured the United States and the music evangelism tour back in 1980, I believe it was, we met them. But since then, this person has now turned to all kinds of new age beliefs and all kinds of stuff. And so they posted it. And when I find out that people do things like that, I don't delete them on my Facebook page because I like hearing what different where people are and where they're picking up some of the stuff that they're believing and that they're accepting. So this person posted an article from one of the Dr. Bishop, as part of this New Age movement and everything, universalism, everybody's already saved and all of that. And this person posted this, and the reason why I want to read it to you, because what this person is saying, I find it interesting that what this New Age bishop is teaching is the same kind of stuff that we're hearing in our churches today. So we may really, you know, push against the universalists and the pluralist, but we're teaching the same stuff in the house of God. And I'm going to read it to you and see if this sounds familiar with what you're hearing on today's popular Christian television preachers and teachers. Some of them, this person says, it is God's will for us to have all we desire to make our lives happy and comfortable. Sound familiar? We live in a prosperous world. We take time to reflect on our accomplishments and prepare our prosperous living. We clear out the clutter from our closets and drawers, releasing things that no longer have any use for us. We make way for the good to come in by releasing regrets, unforgiving thoughts, and self-condemnation. We think positive, uplifting thoughts and speak constructive words. We take action in loving ways with obedience to the instruction of divine guidance. Sounds familiar? Yeah. Says, I am open and receptive to God's good. I now accept a consciousness of prosperity. Sounds familiar? This is a New Age person and speaking right out of their doctrine, and we hear the same thing. The same thing. On Christian television. That's why we really do have to be careful of the things that we're picking up and receiving. It is the reason why we have such teachings. I remember we answered a question online one time that dealt with this whole thing of decreeing and declaring, and how that's the same thing they do. I just speak these things. I speak these things and they will come into my life. And so we teach the same thing in the house of God because we don't understand. That's not what God was saying when the word of God says, whatever is I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean I decree and declare stuff and then God has to release it upon my life. It means just the opposite. It means I only say what God is saying. It's loosed in heaven first, and then I say what heaven says. It's bound in heaven first, and then I bind what heaven says must be bound on. I echo. And so it's just sweeping throughout the church right now. All this, I decree, I declare. And it's New Age. It's doctrines of demons. Now, the reason why sometimes it works for people is because they just so happen to be decreeing actually what heaven is decreeing. And sometimes they are declaring what heaven is declaring. And so that's how you end up with confusion, because sometimes you're right, sometimes you're on it, and then other times you're totally off, but you don't know. You think every time you're saying it that this is godly and it is of God. And so the reason why I say this is because God is about to upset he is about to upset many, many doctrines and teachings. He's about to upset our normal way of living in America, especially the church. He's about to upset our normality. He is. And he's going to distinguish. He's going to make the distinction between what thus saith the Lord and what thus said just some false prophet. This is exactly how it was in the time of Jeremiah. When God told him to tell his people, no, you're going into captivity. And the false prophets, folks, went, no, things are going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. And that's what we got going on right now. And so the ministries like this, we remain small because we're the Jeremiahs who are saying, no, that ain't what God is saying. God is not saying that it is will for you to have all that you desire and for you to be happy and comfortable. That is not what God is saying. That ain't what he's saying in this hour. In this hour, he's telling us to be prayerful, be vigilant. Get on the wall, watch and pray. See, that's what he's telling us. You're supposed to be moving into military mindset, not entangled with the affairs of this world. No, get lay aside. This is not R&R time. This is war time now. Reason why he's going to call more and more people to do what, now many have all over this country. They've been spending weekends in the presence of the Lord and going to the house of God and are gathering in their homes and just, we're going to fast and we're going to pray and we're going to go through the scriptures and we're going to seek God. Now, I'm not seeking God for another house, another car, and to be happy and to be comfortable. I'm seeking his presence. I want to seek his face. I want his will. I want his kingdom to come. I want his will to be done. I want him to upset my normal. Upset my normal. I want supernatural. Upset my natural. Give me supernatural. And I believe that that's what he is calling, that and the direction that he is leading. And it won't be long. I don't know why I feel such an urgency to say that. It won't be long before we see God make the distinction between what is of him and what is of man and what is of Satan. There's a lot of things being said and released in our country right now. A lot of words, a lot of prophecies. And that's both from the church world as well as New Age world, from the demonic world, from the business world, from education world, from the political world. Everybody's releasing stuff and saying things and putting it into the atmosphere. And so more than ever, we must have discernment. Oh my God, we must have discernment. And when God speaks, we must embrace what he is saying, no matter how much it upsets what the pictures that we have had in our heads about the way we think things are going to turn out. Yeah. And the only thing about it is when God speaks to us, when the word of God comes, and that's why I know why we're looking at such rejection of the word of God, because when the word of God comes, it so much upsets the picture that we have in our minds. We're like, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. You can tell people that, that the results of how you're living, you're going to go over the cliff and they'll keep right on driving right off. No, I don't believe that. That cannot happen. And America is at that place right now. We just do not believe that we can be conquered. We don't believe it. And we're more defiant than ever since 9/11/2001. It is unbelievable how much more defiant we are 14 years later. We are far worse than we were. The way we first responded after that happened, people start going to church and all that and start singing God Bless America and all of the sports and games and all that kind of stuff. And now here we are. And even that's just it's just routine. Now they just sing God Bless America just out of it's just the thing to do. They released the pictures of the how they're planning on building it bigger and better, the World Trade Center. So they're going to make it bigger and better, and that's defiance. That's defiance, and it's the same way God's people responded. I'm reading a book right now called The Harbinger, written by a brother. Can't think of his. James Kahn, and the things that God revealed to him is exactly America's responding exactly like ancient Israel did when God allowed the breach to be broken through the enemy to attack them. And it was even the same people group. It's the exact same people group that first attacked Israel and broke through the breaches, and they had a devastating loss, but the God was giving them time to repent. And Israel simply said, this was just a fluke, happenstance. We're just going to build our security and make it greater, and we're going to build back everything even bigger than it was. And here is America responding the same way. No, this can't have nothing to do with us needing to repent. We just need to increase our security. And we're going to build this thing back bigger and higher than it was before, with no sign of repentance. Now, I can expect our nation to respond that way because they don't know God anyway. The problem is when God's people respond the same way. And that's how God, yeah, that's how many in the church have responded the same way. And I just hear God speaking to us. Just listen to me. Listen to me. The Bible says in Proverbs, wisdom walking through the streets saying, listen to me. Somebody listen to me. You won't listen. And they said, and when your calamity hits, here's what wisdom says, then I laugh at you. You'll be trying to find an answer. You won't be able to find me. And so we see America hurtling into that position, but even more so the people of God moving and going in that direction, kind of just hanging on to the world. And I believe that part of the shaking that God is allowing us to go through is to get us detached from the world. Because the world, I mean, it is our American system. It is. It's going down fast, as they say, circling the drain. And here's the church holding on to them. And God's like, no, let go, let go, let go. Don't hold on to those values. Don't hold on to those views. Don't hold on to what looks like it's prosperous. You know, because we feel that way sometimes. God, why do the wicked prosper? I was just reading that again this week. Why do the wicked prosper? He said they got so much their eyes are bulging. They just, he said, until I got into the sanctuary of the Lord, and then I saw that their way is slippery, that every step they take could be their very last. And so I believe that that's why God is calling us like he is now. Come on into my sanctuary. Thank you, Lord. Come into my sanctuary. Come into my presence. Because when you come into my presence, oh, you won't be envious of the world. You won't be envious of those who seem to be prospering. You're going to see the real deal. The real deal is that they're slipping. They're slipping. They're slipping. And don't desire what they have. I've got something greater. Oh, yeah. So I feel that that's what God's been doing with us. He's been breaking off our desires for the world and for worldly things. Breaking us from that, and it's so necessary because he has so much greater to give to us, so much more. The eternal rewards that he has, the eternal blessings that he has for us, far outweighs the riches and the best thing that this world has to offer. You just think about that. The best that this world has to offer doesn't even compare to the kingdom of God, to heaven itself. The best this world has to offer doesn't even compare. So why spend our lives pursuing just temporal? I mean, it's fleeting stuff. Word of the Lord says that our life is like a breath. It's just like you see vapor go up, steam, and just disappears, just gone, just that quick. So why spend all of our time and energy and effort in something that just, it's like that compared to eternity? I'm seeing more and more. I'll probably be preaching this a lot more, and that this little bit of time that we have is just what God is, and it's the expression of God's mercy to every human being to give us an opportunity to decide eternity. That's what time is. Time is the physical, tangible expression of God's mercy to give us an opportunity to choose him. That's all time is. And it's not to be wasted in the pursuit of what is fading away. And so the enemy's, his whole plot and plan is to keep human beings distracted in that little brief period called time, so that you come into time, you waste it, and then you go into eternity. And only when you enter into eternity do you realize that that's all time was. It was simply an extension of, it was the physical expression of God's mercy to give you and I an opportunity to choose him. My God, I feel God on that. That's a fresh revelation. Thank you, Lord. We ask you for fresh revelation. That was it right there. Thank you. I'm glad I recorded that so I can write that down somewhere. Yes, Lord God, and that's what gives us the boldness and the confidence to preach this thing. I know that it's become outdated and antiquated in America today to talk about eternity, to talk about what happens after this life. But they, like we talked about yesterday, it's not old and antiquated, it's timeless. And can't you see it even more now that I've talked about what time is compared to eternity? So our message is timeless. It's not old. It's timeless. It's a timeless message. Because why? Because this has to do with eternity. It's got nothing to do with the 4, 5, or 6,000 years that this planet is, you know, that we call years. It's got nothing to do with that. You think about how God measures time. He doesn't measure it according to 365 days that it takes for it to go around the sun. God measures time by this slot of space that he has given all of mankind to choose him. Satan and demons and the cohorts that he had to kick out of heaven, their time's up. They had their moment. They had their opportunity in eternity. Now, they work to keep us from coming to know something that they know about. Oh, my God. That's still, I was looking back at what we taught over the weekend, and I was just, God took me back to that point again of how Satan and demons, they've been there. They've been there. So look at how evil that is to say, I've been in God's presence and I never want you to experience that glory. So I'm just going to distract you. From the time you're born, from the moment you're born, I'm going to just keep sending stuff at you and distract you and make you think that life is all about become famous and what you want to be and what you want to do. And the problems that you have is the white man and it's the black man and it's and your real problem is the government and war is the problem. And that ain't even all of what's going on is what all distractions. All distractions to keep us from having that one moment in time, that one moment in, can I say, mercy, keeping us all from having that one moment in mercy where we look up in the midst of all the chaos in our lives and in our families and in our homes and in our situations, to keep us from having that one moment where we look up from, you know, that one night that you're laying in the bed and you look up, or that one time that you're really down and out and you're just sitting in your car and you're depressed and you actually look up, or the one moment that you're at the job and you may have gotten fired and you're just so frustrated and you don't know what to do, and just he's trying to keep you from having that moment where you look up. That's what he works to do. Keep every human being from having that moment where I stop and I go, wait a minute, what's going on here? There's more. There's got to be more. That's why we hear a lot of the celebrities and the people who got everything. They got all the money. They got all, and they all come to that moment and they go, wait a minute, there's got to be more, because I've got everything that that I've been told to pursue, and I'm still empty. There's got to be more. And that's why a lot of them will start trying to explore the occult and something spiritual, because they feel like there's something more. And again, can't you see it? That's the enemy just distracting them. What you need is to believe in New Age. What you need is to believe in this religion and go after this and all this stuff. All the enemy's working so now that he's got all the way down to little children now. Got little children. Some of you probably heard about this game that they're playing. It's Charlie game. Little kids are conjuring up demons. Yeah, it's crazy little game that they got kids playing, where you sit in your room and you call out this demon's name. It's Charlie, and say if you're real, then you ask it questions. It's like the Ouija board. But now they're teaching children, because of internet and Facebook, people are on there and they're showing it, and now other people, it's just swept the country with kids, teenagers, little adolescent kids sitting in their room by themselves calling on this demon. Why is the enemy taking it to that level? Because if you can get the next generation, oh my God, He's been doing this for a long time. Look, that's why we have what we do in this country now, because he's been able to successfully raise a godless generation. No respect for God, the things of God. People keep thinking it's just no respect for authority. No, it's no respect for God. It's manifested as no respect for authority. But they are a godless generation. But all my point is, all of this is the distraction of the enemy. So that the first time, he wants to make sure that the first time that they become aware of the mercy of God is when it's too late. When they get shot down, a gun down, then as they're entering into eternity, then they realize, oh my, I wasted the time. I wasted the mercy. I'll always see those as the same word from now on now. Time and mercy will always mean the same thing to me now. Time and mercy. God's giving, he's extending his mercy. And so our role in the midst of all of this, he has told us, it's been very clear. He needs his body to stand up and to be salt and light. And it starts right where we are, in our families, in our relationships, on our jobs, in the neighborhood, and the opportunities that he gives us. Just seize the moment. Let him teach us how to be fishers of men, how to be bait, how to be lure, how to cast out the net. All of the ways that he brings people, lift him up. If I be lifted up, then I will draw. All of that. And so now he's helping the, and I believe he's removing all of this stuff out of the church, just like Jesus did when he came in and beat all those money changers and all the corruption and stuff going on in the temple. Why? So he could say, that ain't what this is about. Y'all done made this a den of thieves. Not just stop thinking about the word den. Y'all done made it a den. This was supposed to be a house of prayer. Y'all done made it a den. He didn't call it a house. Y'all have made it a den, and it's a den full of thieves. And after you got all that stuff out the way, now the folks who need to be healed, not just their physical healing, but now the people whose lives are distracted, even by this religious mess going on, now they can for the first time look up and say, Jesus said, I came to show y'all what my daddy was like. You want to know what God is like? That's why I'm here, so you can see what God is like. But I got to kick out the distraction. Kicking out the distraction and turning over stuff. And I believe that's what he's doing in the church today. He's doing it in the church today. But we got to be willing to accept his word when it comes. Accept his way when it comes.
At Urban Life Family Center, we minister in an informal family atmosphere that includes worship, prayer, sharing, and healing. But it's all done in a style and format that uniquely ministers to people in a personal way. From our Sunday prayer and healing sessions to our home church gatherings, everything we do is designed to equip and prepare you to do the work of the ministry. Until next time, remember, God wants to use you to rebuild, restore, and renew hearts and homes in this community. He wants to do it through your fruitful living.